What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matias.
Episode number 7, Pucks in 7, brought to you by Sprott Money. Welcome to this program. We know times are tough. Every dollar counts. We're excited to team up with Sprott Money, Canada's leading precious metals dealer since 2008. They've been the go-to for investing in physical gold, silver, and platinum. To sweeten this deal, you can use the promo code PUCKSIN7 for $10 off your first purchase. Just visit sprottmoney.ca, that's S-P-R-O-T-T, money.ca, or give them a call, 1-888-861-0775. There's something in the air today and tonight, Vic, because there's a lot of hockey that's going to be played. We'll get into all that in a second. Emma Lingan's going to join us later on. We will try our best to figure out what the heck is wrong with Nashville. We'll go 77 seconds with Emma as well. But before that, though, again, you and I had an absolutely great time with Mike Keenan last week. So candid, so honest, so fun. It was really great to catch up with him.
I also want to thank all of our listeners who reached out to us, because there were quite a few and really enjoyed the episode. And it's always great to hear that. You can still listen to it, of course. It's available and it's an evergreen episode because, right. I mean, you can listen or watch that 3 months from now, and it's still going
to
be very
relevant.
Listen
to it next year. It doesn't matter.
Telling, Mike Keenan is telling stories from his coaching days and all the rest of it, but we did get a lot of great feedback. It was really wonderful to hear. My mother-in-law, however, everybody else was like, oh, it was a great interview. You guys had a great conversation. My mother-in-law.
Really? Okay. Whenever it starts with my mother-in-law,
she's not too great. Sure, you know, Sandra and I get on like a house on fire.
I do. Yeah.
But her feedback was, get that microphone out from in front of your face.
Really?
So for Sandra, I've shifted it off to the side a little bit.
I have noticed that. Okay. Yes. So she was thinking the mic was taking too much of you.
She's like, you have such a pretty face, Vicky. Just move that microphone away. So
Sandra.
Yes. Love her. She's the best. So yes, for her, the microphone is off to the side.
Go to our channel again to watch that interview and all the other episodes we've had, youtube.com/@pucksin7. And also, as always, if you don't like the video, you can listen to the audio available wherever you get your podcast. We will go west in a bit. That'll lead into, again, Emma Lingan, who covers Nashville. We'll talk Preds with Emma later on in the show. But I said to you that there's something in the air today and tonight, Vic. This is NHL Frozen Frenzy. Today and tonight, the only 16-game day in the NHL this season.
That's right.
All 32 teams in action. Let me just break this down quickly, and then we can go into more detail. All 16 games have a different start time. They're all staggered. Puck drop every 15 minutes across 13 games over a three. Yeah, I know. Imagine got to drop it. It's 15. Let's go. Over a three-hour span, it's going to be fun.
Are you feeling frenzied, Ryan? That's my question. Are you feeling frenzied?
So frenzied. I'm frenzied out already. It hasn't even started yet.
I love this day. And I remember last year, it was not the first time they did something like this, but the first time they made a really big deal about it.
Yes.
And I know you and I were both a little reticent about how much we were going to enjoy it, because there's just so much hockey. And I love my 4 and 5 game slates. I just do. I think you can sink your teeth, you know, deeper into the actual action of every single contest. So in this case, you're getting a little bit inundated. But I remember both you and I last year, we really liked it. It was neat. You could just turn and flip and flip and flip. I mean, I need more screens in my house to watch all of it. There's no question of that.
You think?
Yeah, a few. But I really enjoyed it. I think there's something novel about it. I think it's really neat that everybody plays on the same day. Once a year, you don't want it to happen all the time.
No.
Again, there's only one game tomorrow. And there was only one game
last night.
Yeah. But it is a lot of fun. I like the fact that we make a little bit of a big deal about it, and it feels a little festive for early in the season.
It does. And the three-hour span between 6:30 Eastern to 9:30 Eastern, so 6:30 Eastern when Minnesota drops the puck in Florida against the Panthers, through Pittsburgh into Calgary, the Flames at 9:30 Eastern. That is the puck drop every 15 minutes across 13 games. So, I see what you're saying.
Okay.
That 3 hour span is when a lot of games are going to be starting and a lot of them are going to be out. I think the last one, I believe, the first one's at 6, Capitals and Flyers, and the last one starts at 11 Eastern, the Kings and the Golden Knights in Vegas. So it's going to be a lot of fun. A quick question. Do you know how many goals have been scored on a single day? The most goals scored on a single day across the league.
Oh, boy. I don't. Can I guess?
Yes, you can guess.
I'm going to say 92.
Ooh. 114.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Nope, not bad.
Not too so, off.
And that was done on the 4th of November last season. It 15 games played, so not 16 played. And last year's Frozen Frenzy had 102 goals. So I'm just saying.
It's a lot
Pointing all this, there's going to be a lot of goals coming up tonight. Speaking of goals, last night the one game, Vic, Leafs and the Lightning, first one on Amazon Prime Monday night. The visuals were great. I thought, anyway, it was the one game. I thought, and you talked about this with me just before we came on, I thought that was the best game by far the Leafs have played top to bottom.
Everything was aligned, right? First of all, William Nylander, my goodness, talk about a start to the season. Is he the best player in the NHL right now?
Could be. And didn't I say to you last week, I think I said
maybe
to you
Artemi
that he's
Panarin,
in.
Maybe Artemi Panarin, but other than that, maybe William Nylander?
Nylander's in an extra year. It seems like he's faster. Mm. I really think so. Yeah, it's hard to not.
You know what's funny you say that? I'm sorry to interrupt. I know it's funny you say that because
you interrupt me all the time.
He does look. I know. It's our
you
brand.
You do. Right.
Yeah. Even though I know exactly what you mean, he still looks so deliberate. And it looks like he's never in a hurry to the point that he draws criticism for that there's no sense of urgency. And why don't you get on your horse and hustle a little bit more? But that is him hustling. He just makes it look smooth and easy. But you're absolutely right. It does look like he's in another gear.
The edge work with the superstars in the game, even the edge work with the third and fourth line guys, but with the McDavids, the Matthews, the Eichels, the McKinnons, the Nylanders, it's unbelievable. And he is so quick with the puck. He can have the puck on a string, on a stick. So I'll tell you what the biggest bargain in the NHL is at this point. It's Anthony Stolarz in goal.
Oh, I don't think there's much question of that.
Bargain. And we'll talk Vasilevskiy in just a second. I didn't realize they talked a lot about his height and his weight last night. 6'6". I think he's 240 or something. He's a big goalie. And there was one play where I forget it was coming down the left side, but he was pretty much kneeling. And there was maybe, I don't know, an inch of space in the top of the net. And he was kneeling. He wasn't even standing. So he's been tremendous.
He's been anticipating play really well. He doesn't seem to ever be caught out of position. There was the circus save he made last night when he flipped over and scooped the puck off the line. Ryan, I threw out my shoulder just watching that play. Okay. It was ridiculous. The flexibility of such a big guy as well, you can also appreciate. And I will toot our horns. We loved this signing from the get-go.
We did.
Everybody was on top. Oh, the sample size is so small. And we kept on insisting 27 games is not 5. Okay. And that's how many he played last year, putting up excellent, stellar numbers. And now he's doing it on a regular basis against some really good teams. The Leafs can play differently in front of him as well because they feel the confidence of having somebody like that performing to the level he is in between the pipes. But then on the opposite end of the ice, I don't know if I've seen Vasilevskiy play such a sloppy game a long time.
Yeah, I think what threw him off was in the beginning when they were in the warm-up and he skated over to center ice and he put the snow shower. And I just think he was trying to be funny, and I don't really think he's the funniest guy, and I think that threw him off. But he let in some goals that should not have gone in, obviously. And then he was pulled, and I noticed too, right after he was pulled, he went right to the room. He didn't stay on the bench. He went right to the room. I wonder if
he was feeling off. I mean, even physically a little bit, maybe had a bit of a bug or something. So
maybe.
I think there might be a little bit more to it, but for one of the elite top three goalies in the league, I don't think there's much question of that. He looked pretty average last night. Well, he looked worse than average.
Oh yeah. No, he did. Stolarz at a bargoon, 2 years at $5 million. So 2.5 per. The Rangers are flying. I know it's insane. The Rangers are flying. They continue to be led by Panarin and Lafreniere is playing well. Trocheck, that line's dynamite. I think they have 25 points or something in their games combined. One of the top lines in the league. But of course, all the discussion still remains around Igor Shesterkin. He's been great. The other night when Toronto played New York, Stolarz came out and said, yeah, I can see why this guy wants the money. He deserves it. He's incredible. Again, we're still waiting. So all Shesterkin's doing is his playing the ice and saying, hey, pay me the money. And that's all he's doing. And if he continues like this, it's going to be a massive contract anyway. But it's not coming down at all. We talked last week though about maybe it is going to take a hit because of what Ottinger did and Swayman did and all that type of stuff.
You still believe that? There's still comparatives, and you know what? My other counterpoint to this is as well is Jonathan Quick played two games ago against Detroit and also looked fabulous.
I know. Yeah.
So how much credit are we also? I do not get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Shesterkin is a heck of a goaltender. Again, another top three in the league. I would have him on my team any second of any day.
Yeah.
12 million? Still not so sure about that. Not when Ottinger is making 8.25 and other players and other goalies are making significantly less. So the fact that Jonathan Quick at 108 years old can sub in there and and still play superbly, I think that also speaks to, first of all, Jonathan Quick is a hell of a goaltender, but also speaks to the team in front of him. And I think that has to be taken into consideration as well.
And that also goes, I think, to GMs and owners' mentality now. And that is more of, you know, do we want to invest so much in one goaltender when we would love to have the backup become a 1B? And so why would you want to do that? You wouldn't want to have, say, Shesterkin, give him 12. Let's say he signs for, 12.5. Would you want him to play? You want to play at least 60 games, 65 maybe. I know that's a lot, but then if he's not playing, you're just having that money sit in the bench.
Upwards of 60 for sure. Yeah, you're right.
I just want to let you know, Hellebuck's at 8.5. That's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Panthers, bit of a concern here early on. Yes or no? I don't know. Yeah, you know what? I think it is. I do. I think it is. The plus minus I look at, I know I joke about it on my show on the hot stove a lot, but the plus minus tells me a lot. And this tells me that, again, they're in these games and they're not winning these like they did a season ago, and they're not winning these convincingly.
Okay. And we should mention, what are they, a -2 or a -1 right now? They're -2?
I think they're -2. You talk and I'll find it.
Okay. So whatever, -2, -1, it doesn't matter. The fact that they are still in good position in their division so far. Ryan, no Barkov.
Yeah.
No Tkachuk.
They're -1.
They're -1. No Barkov, no Tkachuk.
I think Tkachuk's back today.
He was sick. Yeah. Missing that many games for an illness, he must have been really walloped by something. Yeah. And Barkov is skating again as well. So that's good news, good tidings for the Florida Panthers. You're talking about two of their best players, right? So having them back, they've had a little bit of a tougher schedule. I understand the -1, but -1 is not -7. And the fact that they still have a winning record, they still have a successful record so far, and getting their two best. Barkov is the engine that runs that team. You and I both agree on that.
He is.
So missing him hurts. And Matthew Tkachuk is the personality, right? Yeah. So he's the other leader in a very different way. So to miss both of them to start the season, I think it hurts a little bit, but they're still winning games.
You said good tidings, right? You said that a few seconds ago.
Oh,
I'm going to throw in a Christmas song reference right now. So basically, Barkov and Tkachuk will give comfort and joy to the Panthers when they come back. So good 100%. Tidings of comfort and joy.
I would whip into song right now, but I'm going to spare our listeners adventure.
We want to keep people with us.
Right? Vic, we want to attract listeners and viewers.
I'm sure Sandra would love it if you start going off like that, but anyway. Okay, so I'm with you with that. The whole minus thing, that's fine. And still early, they'll get some bodies back. And they're playing today. Who are they playing? Minnesota, that game at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time.
That's going to be a tough one.
It is, yeah. And we're going to talk about the Wild in a bit, too, in the next segment with the West. Because did a lot of people not expect this? Yeah, I think most people did not expect this. Capitals, did they deserve more credit?
Okay, they're 3-1. That's why we're talking about it. Mm-hmm. And we didn't expect them. But I'm still going to point out that's only four games, right?
My answer is no, they don't deserve more credit.
What I do appreciate is the fact that they have beat good teams.
Right.
So they lost that one game to the Devils.
You can't. Okay, here's what we're going to do.
I'm sorry, I can't.
We're not going to go through a podcast this year, I guarantee you, except in the playoffs without you mentioning strength of schedule.
I can't help it because it matters. The Golden Knights are not the Chicago Blackhawks, and they beat the Golden Knights. They beat the Dallas Stars, Ryan.
I know.
That's not an
I
easy know. Out, man. No, I do not. Actually like the way that they're playing defensively right now. What I also really appreciate about this team, and by the way, Alex Ovechkin scored his first goal of the season the other day. So that is something that feels like to me he's going to get the ball rolling. And so the first one is always the hardest.
Yeah.
So, and the shift to the right side has been a little bit weird too, but I like the fact that he's finally scored. What I really appreciate about this team is the acquisition of Logan Thompson. So now you have a goaltender that's hungry, that wants to prove to Vegas they made a big mistake by letting him go the way they did. Mm-hmm. And I think he's pushing Charlie Lindgren as well.
Sure.
So it's not even the fact that he's playing well also, and he looks good out there. But now Charlie Lindgren is like, okay, you know, this was my number one starting gig to lose. And if Logan Thompson continues to put up some good results as well, I may lose it. So that's a nice push. What we've seen in the past with St. Louis and Minnesota and other teams, and of course, most recently Boston, when you have a very strong tandem, they make each other better. And I think that's something we might see a little bit of with the Capitals this year.
And don't we want, a coach's dream is to have competition. It is. A coach's dream is to have guys competing in every single position, because that pushes them. Mm-hmm. In turn, it pushes them. And then it's this cycle, and it goes through the entire team. So I agree with you. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. There's no definitive, the league's changed. It really has. And I really give credit to, not all the coaches do this, but I give credit to the coaches that do. And that is saying, training camp, if you think you had this position last season, you're going to have to fight for it this season. And yeah, you'll be in the lineup off and on, but if you want this thing, then you go out and get it. I think that is, because they got to be pushed. A lot of these guys make it look so easy, right? Because they're professionals. But I think
Patch Reddy did last night. Oh, he was a healthy scratch for two games.
That was a great story. That good for you, Max.
For two games, though, and then comes out and scores a goal. And you could see on his face, it was a bit of an F you to the coach. Look, you got me back on the ice, and look at what I did. Yeah. And I think that is, like you just said, that's the best attitude to have. Give them something to prove, right?
The Flyers. Okay, go ahead. I had something else to say, but no, go.
No. I want you to go. And I'm going to point out an interesting stat that I came across this morning.
You go first. No. I was just going to say.
They're not playing very well.
That's pretty much what I was going to get at. Let's try to figure out how we can help this team. Yeah.
Okay. They are the most penalized team in the league.
Mm.
And that's what struck me. They don't have the most penalty minutes so far because they've just played fewer games, but they do. At last check, I believe that they are the most penalized per minutes per game. When you're a Flyers team, as you are currently constructed, in terms of that you're improving, you haven't hit peak yet, you're still rebuilding to a degree and coming together and figuring it all out. You can't play undisciplined hockey like that. No, you have to be clean out there, because if you give an opportunity to the opposition, when you are, never mind the fact that they have the extra skater, you're down one, you're not scoring goals. And I know that they're better at that, especially Travis Konecny, but in general, you can't count on scoring shorthanded goals. So don't give them this advantage when you're in the position that you can't afford to.
I'm surprised that they're not being as disciplined, because they're playing under one of the most disciplined coaches in John Tortorella. And to your point about the strength of schedule, I'm going to talk about that now. I remember he came out recently and said, was asked about the schedule. And he said, I don't like it. He said, it's no excuse. Got to respect the league. You don't get the schedule you want. I don't put the blame on the home opener, but tough game. Having said that, I think we're dead on even in the games we played prior. So he's just, I'm not saying that's an excuse, but I'm surprised about the discipline and that there is a lack of discipline with that team under Tortorella.
How many minutes a game do you think on average they're being penalized right now? How many penalty minutes per game? I know this is tough and I'm throwing you out there, but
on average?
Yes.
I'm going to say 8 minutes.
16, Ryan.
Wow.
16. 8 is where you need to be. Even that's a little high for some teams.
Well, that's when right? 16 is way too
16
much.
16 minutes per game. How do you expect to win when you're not on the level with, the elite in the league? So they got to smarten up, man.
How do you expect to win if you don't score in the power play? That's one question we got to ask about Buffalo. It's not happening. Buffalo is terrible. They're terrible. I'm sorry. And we can talk too about this with Emma Lingen later on when we dive into Nashville. I got some statistics to talk about Nashville with what they have not done on their power play, the shooting percentage on the power play. It was like 2-for-14 or something like that. It's terrible. You're not going to win this league, Vic, number one, if you can't do 5-on-5, let alone if you can't do anything with the man advantage. Buffalo's not. They haven't scored once.
I think it's it really struck me the other day when I was looking up some stats for a different reason than this. I was like, wow, they really haven't. They really haven't scored with the extra skater.
You didn't quite believe it until you looked.
And again, to even make it worse, they are the fifth most penalized team in the league. So not only are you not taking advantages of the opportunities you have with the extra skater,
you're not being
but
disciplined.
You're offering too many to the opposition as well. It's very much in the same league with the Flyers. Their numbers aren't quite as bad, but they are getting up there. So they got to get their act together as well. I still think this team turns it around. I still do. I don't know why I've been so stubborn with this.
No.
I know you don't. I know you don't.
No.
There's something about it. I trust Tage Thompson. I don't know. There's just, he's so good.
Because
they frustrate me.
Because if they...
they do.
Tage, stop frustrating Vic. I can't do a podcast like this.
If they turn it around, then a team is there's going to be a team that's not going to go in that direction then. So that's what you have to look at too in that division, also that Eastern Conference. I don't see them. I really don't. I don't see them turning it around. I don't. It's not like they haven't scored a ton. They've scored 21, which is fine. Given up 26. Shooting percentage 11.2. They're giving up more shots against than they're actually putting on the opposition's goal. And again, that power plays well, can't be any worse than zero. So this just in, that is why people listen. Can't be worse than zero. Well, it can be negative, but that doesn't,
you can give up short, you can give up shorthanded goals. There is that, so it could be worse.
Oh,
right?
Imagine if they start doing that. They've given up more shorthanded goals than scored in the power play. That's going to be a worse statistic. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Okay,
oh,
we're done with the East. Let's go West. We'll talk Jets. We'll talk Wild. We'll talk San Jose. And later on, too, Emma Lingen will join us. We'll dive into Nashville. Can we fix them? Probably not. We'll throw some answers out there that maybe can. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Maddie-Ash, brought to you by Spratlin.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Maddie-Ash.
Want to share with the listeners and viewers what we were just chatting about? I'll just say this. I'll preface it by saying that there's something different about you
today. I have a lot of energy from lack of sleep, so I just wanted to make everybody understand that I have not been imbibing in any type of wine or beer at 9:15 on a Tuesday morning. I just wanted to make that clarify in case there was any questions. So
it's not a bad thing, by the way. You've
no,
got
it's
extra,
not. No,
extra
we're having
zip to you today.
Yeah. We're having a fun Pucks and Seven. It's because I'm frenzied. That's why.
Oh, well done.
Because of the frozen frenzy, right?
Yeah.
16
but
games
you're also
on the
frenzied in general, to be honest.
Totally frenzied in general. And that's not necessarily in a good way, as you are often familiar with. But we're having a good time right now. Looking forward to the 16 games tonight. We did go to the East. We are going to head westward now before we have Emma Lingen on in a little bit. And a reminder that this episode of Pucks and Seven is brought to you by Sprott Money. We know times are tough. Every dollar counts. So we are excited to team up with Sprott Money, Canada's leading precious metals dealer. Since 2008, they have been the go-to for investing in physical gold, silver, and platinum, whether you're just starting out or if you have an established portfolio, Sprott Money has you covered. Here's something impressive. If you bought an ounce of gold back in 1990 for $400, it would be worth $3,500 today. That is a massive 775% increase. So to sweeten the deal, you can use the promo code PUCKSAND7, that's us, for $10 off your first purchase. Just visit sprottmoney.ca. That is sprottmoney.ca.
Well done. We went east. Emma Lingen will join us in a bit, and we'll talk about Nashville. We'll do 77 seconds too with Emma as well. I don't prep them anymore, the guests, but I do say, hey, there's this segment or part of the segment. Are you okay with that? And they all say fine. So she said fine, but we'll see until we get into it. That was funny. We did with Mike Keenan last week. That was a good one.
We actually did. We jammed in 9 questions. He was excellent at it. Yeah.
We did. Yeah.
He was excellent.
He was smiling and laughing, and that's what it's all about. Okay. Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets. So I'm going to sum up Winnipeg like this, and then you can pick it up after that. Scheifele, fantastic. Connor, great. Vilardi, they're winning games. Ehlers, great. Mm-hmm. Pionk, for example, getting it done. Power play, dynamite. PK, okay, but still, they don't need to work on that right now. Hellebuck and Comrie, fantastic. Hellebuck, another Vezina Trophy-like season to begin. This team is flying, Vic. No pun intended. I didn't mean to have that pun in there at all.
Well,
Okay. I didn't, because it's an easy one. I try to do the harder ones, right? Jets flying, okay.
Yeah, not enough of a challenge for you. No. Guess who's the least penalized team in the entire league?
Got to be the Winnipeg Jets.
So we were talking earlier about how the Philadelphia Flyers are accumulating an average of 16 penalty minutes a game.
Uh-huh.
Winnipeg, 3.4.
Oh, that's so telling. That's so telling.
Yes, sir.
I'm not saying that's also one of the big reasons why Winnipeg is playing so well. They're a very good hockey team, but mm-hmm. that certainly plays a huge part in this thing.
Special teams are huge. It's the reason they're such a big part of the game. But it also just speaks to how the team is playing together. So never mind the fact that you're not putting yourself at a disadvantage, right, by giving up 5-on-4 opportunities or 5-on-3 opportunities. Never even mind that math. The fact that they're obviously all buying in and playing disciplined hockey just speaks to how the unit is operating as a whole, right? So, you're helping out your goaltenders. We're talking about the amazing numbers that Hellebuck is putting up, and he's putting up some amazing numbers, but it also helps when you're not facing 5-on-4 over and over and over again, and it makes such a huge difference. So well done, Jets. They are absolutely out to a start that I wasn't quite anticipating. I have a lot of respect for the team. I had them as a wild card team, so it's not like I didn't have them in the playoffs, but they have been pretty wazoo so far.
The numbers are astonishing, and they deserve to be talked about. Hellebuck is ridiculous, .952 save percentage. And he's the, as you said, Barkov is the engine that runs things in Florida. Hellebuck's the engine that runs things in Winnipeg. They're shooting 33% on the power play, which is pretty darn good. Is that sustainable? If you can get in the 20s by the time the season's done, that's really good, I think.
Mark Scheifele. Mark Scheifele.
Yeah. Remember when there was the discussion if he was going to re-sign and if Hellebuck was going to re-sign, and if both or neither of them were going to re-sign? Such a tumultuous time in Winnipeg. Anyway, they've been outscoring the opposition 24-8, plus 16 goal differential. And I'll say this as we lead into this division. The division is playing to a 98-point pace as of right now. Mm-hmm. The only team that's bringing that down is Nashville because they haven't won. But this division, you have the Jets, you have Utah. Dallas is going to be there, of course. Other teams that we may have underestimated, Minnesota, St. Louis, Colorado, I believe they're going to turn it around. This division could be, if all the cards play out the way they're supposed to, the way we think, this could be the most competitive division by the time the 82nd game's played.
That's kind of what we expected, though, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the Central was going to be pretty much on par with the Atlantic as being the toughest division in hockey, especially compared. I mean, the Pacific, it's not even, they're not in the same league.
No.
In terms of...
Okay, so let's go back to
the microphone. The microphone fell
down.
Let's
go back to Vic being on a frenzy. We sure about it's just a frenzy.
So we are no, but back to that. Absolutely,
yes.
It's just in terms of one through eight.
Yeah,
there are very few. Yeah, Chicago. Okay, but generally speaking, St. Louis. What did you say? Minnesota, Colorado. It seems to be smartening up now.
Yep.
So. As we anticipated as well.
And Nashville is not going 0-82. They're not.
Probably
they're
not.
Fragile right now, yes, but they're going to start to improve also. When I was on the show yesterday, we talked about Utah, and everyone's saying, oh, are you surprised about the start by Utah? No, I think it's great. 4-1-1. Why not? 9 points. Off we go. I underestimated Minnesota. Did you underestimate Minnesota? Because I think the consensus is most people did.
I have always had a soft spot for them.
Yes, you have. I remember last year you were really pushing, really on board with them.
The Flames and the Wild in the West, yes. I just have a soft spot for, because I think they should enjoy better results than they do. Looking at the talent we're talking about the Wild right now, looking at the talent on that team, and I like how they're playing so far. The goaltending has been excellent. Excellent. And you're getting some balance up front, because when you look at this is also without Ek has been out for a while as well too. He had a busticated nose,
right.
So I believe he's back now.
Sorry.
So okay.
Busticated. I have an ongoing diary of the language. Okay.
Matty Ashisms.
Yeah.
It's not just all Kaprizov right now, which is what I like about it. And this is a very balanced team, and they are one of those sometimes the quieter ones are the scarier ones when we're always talking about the Colorados and the Vegases and these other, and the Dallases, these flashier teams. Yeah. Just don't sleep on Minnesota. That's all I'm going to say about that. Especially defensively, they're so solid, and they do, they have the talent up front.
And they have goalies that score goals. So
I knew you would love that.
What
and I knew
more
that
do you need? What more do you need? By the way, the goalies that have scored goals, they should only be credited for the ones that you actually shoot into the net. None of this, the last person that touched. Oh, you were the last person that touched
it. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
All that stuff. No. It's got to be dead.
He was so happy afterwards. And everybody made such a big deal about it. And it's so fun. Did it really matter to the game? No, they were probably going to win anyway. But the point was, because he felt comfortable, they were up by a couple. So you're not going to pull that.
It's a good time to try it then.
It is a good time to try it. But it's a rallying point too for a team that kind of brings you all together and you can celebrate each other. So it was a hoot.
Team's unbeaten in regulation. Kaprizov, 8 points. Boldy's been good, 6 points. Yeah. Zuccarello, 3 goals. Marco Rossi's been fine as well. So yeah, I'm with you. Don't underestimate this team because they'll be kind of quiet. Mm-hmm. But they'll be making noise, and all these teams in front of them, they'll be, hey, you know what? We got Minnesota tomorrow night. That's going to be a tough
one. You'll see.
And that's what you want. You want to have the fear factor put into the opposition before you even get in their building, because that is such a big, big part of this game. You're bummed about Macklin Celebrini. Not just that, but also San Jose. They are a very bad team, Vic.
It's unfortunate because you start the season with this bright spot. And Celebrini scores a goal and assist in the first game, and everybody has a reason to be excited. The Sharks still haven't won in regulation, but at least they have some points, unlike a team we're going to be talking about shortly. But yes, they have a couple of overtime losses. But the fact that everybody was really excited, not just Sharks fans either, about Macklin Celebrini, the first overall draft pick. He looked just fantastic in the preseason. He looked really great in his first game. And now he is hurt. And first he didn't understand what exactly it was. And now we have official word that he is out week to week. It is a matter of weeks. This is no longer he's going to be back next week or the week after. Yeah. No, this is no day to day. And honestly, Ryan, it bites. It really bites, man. This is how I felt about Connor Bedard last year doing, but that was midseason when the broken jaw, but you just felt a little bit ripped off.
Yeah.
In general, that you weren't allowed to see this guy really give the Calder a good go, because that's going to be very difficult for him now if he's going to miss out several weeks. And just also such a bright spot on a team that could really use a bright spot, and they're without it.
It hurts more than a shark bite, maybe, right? If you think about it. San Jose scored 8 goals in 5 games. They have not scored 4 in a single game since opening night. And we talked about, what was the team again that was taking a ton of penalties?
Philadelphia.
So for the third straight game, the last game they had, the Sharks were down on a 5-on-3. For the second straight, they were called for too many men. They went 3 games with a perfect PK, but then they've given up a goal in 3 straight. So to our points, special teams need to be special. And if you're a team like San Jose, more often than not, you're not going to beat a team 5-on-5 because you're not there yet. You're not. So that means when you do have an advantage on the ice or a disadvantage for the opposition, that's when you got to take advantage of it.
Without Celebrini, 1.6 goals per game. 1.6.
I know.
They play the Ducks tonight.
Yeah, it's a game of the night. That one's going to be a 10-8 game probably. it could be. It could end up being.
I don't think so.
Oh, no, it's not going to be.
No.
Edmonton still, by the way, Emma Lingan's going to join us in a bit too. We'll talk about Nashville. We're not going to dive in too much in the Preds right now, but Emma will do it with us in about 10 or so minutes from now. Edmonton. Just when you think, I think they're in a worse spot right now than they were right at the beginning of the season, even though we're at the beginning of the season. What I mean by that is when you get a win, or if you get two, and then you have another loss again, creeps back into the mind thinking, uh-oh. Okay, we're not there yet. We're not on the run. And that's what I think is happening to Edmonton. I am absolutely, my mind is boggled by what is wrong with this team. All I've been seeing is defensively, they're terrible. And
they're not good.
Seeing two coming in that defensively, they had a lot of issues. But it's hard for you to even think about that because this is a team that went to 7 games last season with Florida. And they made some decent additions in the offseason. It's not like this team is completely different And Stewart, like, what's happened? Do you blame Stuart Skinner? I don't think so. You blame the team in front of him. You blame everybody right now, Vic. But it's hard to watch because the expectations are so high.
Connor McDavid has one goal.
I know.
One.
Well, didn't he say last year that he was done shooting? He was just going to pass.
And he still scored a bunch.
He's still doing
it. Not as much as the year before. Nowhere near it. But he racked up 100 assists, so everybody forgave him. But the fact that still through six games, one goal so far.
Yeah.
That is under whatever circumstances. Even if he's easing up and playing it more conservative in the shooting department, he's still going to finish with over 40 goals. Mm-hmm. And to have one through six so far, I think that's indicative. That's not the only problem, like you just said. I think this is very much a group effort. I also think they're going to turn it around like they did last year. It's interesting, though, to see where it's almost like Groundhog Day a little bit here.
Yeah,
it's starting to really feel like that.
100%.
And it didn't, once they got that first one, it didn't. And now it's starting to again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would be a little bit concerned in oil country. Not too concerned, not predators concerned, but I would start to feel a little bit concerned.
If they go 3-9-1 in the first 13 like they did last season, they'll get rid of Knobloch and hire Woodcroft back. I think that's going to be
That's not going to happen.
I know, but imagine.
And they're hosting Carolina tonight. Not an easy one.
No, it's not. It's not. The Canes have allowed 11 goals through four, tied for the fourth fewest in the NHL, but they've only scored 12. So if you can keep them off the board, that's the easy thing, but it's hard to actually score. Knobloch, by the way, last one on Edmonton, adjusted his lines on Monday, split up McDavid and Draisaitl.
Again.
So McDavid now centers Nugent Hopkins and Hyman. Draisaitl will play with Skinner and Arvidsson, and he's looking at getting Henrik and Janmark and Brown back, and then you have the fourth line, Corey Perry on that with Ryan and Podkolzin as well. So
I actually really like that combination, but even now.
Which one, the fourth one?
I like the Arvidsson with Leon Draisaitl and Jeff Skinner. I quite like that unit. And the third line as well, the Adam Henrik line. That they enjoyed quite a bit of success in the postseason, as you may remember.
Right.
So let's just see what they can get going. But when you're trailing the Ducks in your division, and the Ducks have a game in hand, that's not a good sign.
The Pacific just looks wrong. It just looks wrong with that. It does. You're 2 points up on San Jose.
And the Flames are on top of the division.
What is happening?
I think it's great.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Will it continue? I don't know. By the way, tell your mic to settle down. It's too excited.
So the new placement, man, it's just not working for me. I'm yanking things all over the place.
Quickly, Chicago. Ways to go, obviously, but top unit you have here, third best power play. That's impressive.
So their top unit, guess who plays on that top unit? Well, you'll never guess.
Every single good player on the team. I know Bedard's on that one.
Yeah, Connor Bedard definitely does play. It's a stat that flashed up the other day, and I want to give it credit to whoever put it up. And of course, I can't remember for the life of me. But the fact that the Chicago Blackhawks are top three in that category in special teams, I think is a very good sign. No, they're not making the playoffs this year. No, they're not even going to probably challenge for it. But the fact that you have to worry about that top power play unit if you do take a penalty, I think that's something. And it's showing you, it's giving you empirical evidence that this team is moving in the right direction and they are building around the right player and they are getting some things right in terms of combinations, especially when it comes to that special teams unit in particular.
I love the direction that they're going in. Mm-hmm. I do.
Very much.
They're going further. They're going faster than I think Buffalo. They're going faster than I'd say even Detroit. And in the West, they're going faster than a bunch of teams.
I don't know what's going on with Detroit. I don't want to go back to Detroit, but they confuddle me. They're the most confuddling team to me so far.
Just going to write confuddle. How do you spell it? No, okay.
Stop it.
Okay, last one. Emma Lingham's going to join us in just a second, and we will dive into Nashville 0-5 to begin the season. I have a bunch of numbers with that. I spoke to Bruce Boudreau yesterday, former head coach, and he said this when Jonathan Marchessault said the other day that we're fragile. He said that was the biggest mistake that Jonathan Marchessault should have
said. I didn't like it either.
You don't leak that out to anybody. Keep it in the room, but you don't leak it out to anybody.
I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, and I didn't think about it like that until Bruce said that. But the more I do, that's something you don't want to get out to all the other teams
and your teammates in the league. And for a veteran player like that, I would more expect that from a rookie or a sophomore or somebody who was just figuring things out. But Marchessault has been around a long time.
Yeah.
And he is a leader as well. He has been for many, many years. So for him to use that particular F word, there's other ways he could have phrased it. Hey, we're still figuring things out. Yeah, we're a little bit disorganized, but we're getting there. But
right.
Fragile speaks to great weakness.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. But they are. I guess it's true. They are a little bit fragile. I still think they're going to be fine. But the fact is, 0-5 is a hole now. It's not 0-3. It's not 0-2. It's 0-5 is something that you have to now overcome. And they put themselves a little bit behind the eight ball here. And they're in a little bit more trouble, I think, than they were last week.
Yeah, I agree. And if this continues, right, the U.S. Thanksgiving is kind of the point at which a lot of people think, hey, that's the time when you when you know who you have and you know what you don't have. And they have Boston today. And again, one of the frenzy games. So that's not going to be easy as well. They need a win. Just get one. Just get one. Anyway, Emmeline's going to join us.
I think they beat Boston. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do.
For them, I hope so. I really do. We'll get Emma's take on that. She covers the Preds. We'll talk to her after this as we continue. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiach, brought to you by, of course, Sputnik. Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
I've already scared our guest, and I do this all the time, and I swore to you, I think, Vic, two times ago I wouldn't do this. I didn't scare Mike Keenan, because Mike Keenan's a lot scarier
Who's
than Emma Lincoln.
Mike Keenan?
That's what I mean.
Okay.
A lot scarier than Emma. Anyway, Emma Lincoln joining us, Pred site editor and host of The Wraparound, a hockey news writer of a whole bunch of different things, fan-sided, a host of Lower Broad Pucks, also recent inductee, I guess, or member of the PHWA, so we'll talk Nashville. Good to have you on, Emma.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, you live in Nashville proper, right?
I do, yes.
How do you get anything done? I visited your fair city for the first time 3 weeks ago, and I had an absolute blast.
Were you on Broadway?
I wasn't far from Broadway.
Okay. Yeah.
And we spent a great deal of time there. And between the three B's, the barbecue, the beer, and the bourbon, I had a really good time. But it's such an upbeat, fun place. It's so positive and not judgy either. It was a really, really, really good time. And it absolutely wiped me out, and it took me about a week and a half to recover. So
worth it though.
Oh, totally like worth it.
That sounds like Nashville. Yeah.
So good on you for getting any work done ever under all the circumstances you're surrounded by.
Yeah. It's a really fun place to live. I really like it here.
How long have you been there for, by the way?
I've been here a little over 2 years now.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the good part about Nashville. It's a great place to live because when it comes to the hockey team, Emma, I remember actually when I had you on SiriusXM, we had it on for the first time, and I think I texted you or got in touch with you and you said something like, oh, the reason why I'm on is because Nashville was doing badly or great at the time. You're on because we wanted you on and you're great at what you do. But the big question is, I mean, they're 0-5. Nobody expected this. No one did. The three of us did not. Nobody expected that. I said to Victoria in the first segment that we did, when I was on XM yesterday, I spoke to Bruce Boudreau, and Bruce said that when Jonathan Marchessault said that we're fragile, he said that that was probably the worst thing that he could have said about the team and made that public. Your thoughts on them? You're closer to them than we are.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. I think that when Jonathan Marchessault did say that we're fragile as a group right now, I kind of had a new appreciation for him for saying that.
You know, okay.
You're saying the quiet part out loud because so much of what you hear from these guys is the kind of coach speak or locker room speak, which is just, oh, you know, we have confidence in this group. We believe in this group. We'll get through this, et cetera, which is true. But I think it was kind of nice to see a little bit more like a human side of him, of all these guys, I think, because it does take a toll. And, you know, this is a team that under Andrew Brunette in his first season last year got off to a slower start. It was an 0-5, but it was a slower start. They did start 5-10 to start the season last year. And everyone kind of thought, okay, well, this is a lost season. And then what happens? They have a few more bumps and then they go on a 19 game point streak. So I don't know that we're going to see that stark of a difference this year, but I think it's just one of these things that, you know, we had been warned by Barry Trotz, by Andrew Brunette, this is going to take time. Good things take time. You got to be patient. And, you know, 0-5, I think two things can be true. An 0-5 start can be very bad, but it also does not mean that the season is lost or that this team is a disaster. I think it's just one of those things where they need to get comfortable with each other and they're just not quite there yet. And unfortunately, it's, you know, I've been comparing it to a nagging injury, like a shin splint or something, where it's so painful and it's affecting everything you do, but there's really nothing you can do for it except just rest and wait for it to get better. And
that's a good comparable. Yeah.
And that's kind of where we are with this Predators team right now. And I think, you know, for as frustrated as the fans are and as dumbfounded as everyone is, I think the players are that times 10. So it's just one of those things that, you know, just got to get through it.
Do you see a fix? Do you see something they could try or maybe something that they're looking to try? I know they just recalled Zach Lheureux. So he's going to make his, I believe he's going to make his NHL debut tonight on Tuesday against Boston.
Correct.
That doesn't feel like a fix all to me. I understand that it's, they want him to provide a boost and a little bit of energy. He's that type of player. But other than that, do you see something maybe they are trying to turn the ship around?
You know, I think one thing that we were seeing was in the first really three games, I think Andrew Brunette was doing a lot of shuffling with the line combinations. And it got to the point where it was a bit too much, I think.
Okay.
Because it was happening a lot within games. And then the result is that you have an entire team out there that looks like they've never played together before because they haven't, because there are all these new combinations. And so it was kind of sending a little bit of a panic message, like, okay, well, let's try this. And it rattles the players and it, you know, that becomes evident to the opponent and they can capitalize on that. So I think it's one of those things where they need to find the chemistry and they need to find the consistency with their personnel, I think. And that's something that has been lacking. You know, they've been trying different things. Obviously you have the additions of Stamkos, Marchessault, Shea, all of those guys. They're not just new members of the team. Like, those are guys that you kind of build a system around. And so trying to find where they fit in this system, in this lineup, it's been a process. And, you know, I think that, of course, Steven Stamkos was certainly snake bit to start the season. It seemed a little bit like they were, the rest of the team was constantly trying to get him the puck so they could get him that first goal. And it was like, guys, come on. Like, eventually
it'll come.
Yeah, eventually it'll happen. It's an 82 game season. It'll happen. And it's like they all think they're on a bus and he's the only one who knows how to drive the bus. And it's like, nope, we all
good analogy.
It's like we all got to get in our own cars and play our own game and it'll happen. And I think that's kind of where, you know, where they're at right now. So it's just a little bit of just kind of that lack of comfortability and chemistry. And one thing I will say, this isn't anything that the players have said, but I just, from my own experience, having traveled with a team full time in the past, I think that the fact that their schedule has been so home heavy to start, I think really is almost a disadvantage because there's so much bonding and, you know, team camaraderie and growth and getting to know one another that happens on the road. Just because when you're on the road, that's your only job is just to go play hockey. And when you're at home, you have kids and spouses and errands and lives and chores. And there's just so many other things. And, and maybe that's oversimplifying it a little bit, but it's like for these guys to spend some more time together and really getting to know each other and build that chemistry, I think a really important thing is for them to get some extended time.
Get on out. The road. Yes. Yeah. Get out.
And speaking of things that, you know, maybe were surprising when we talked about Marchessault saying the group is fragile. I was shocked after the second loss to Detroit Ryan O'Reilly, Mr. First One On, Last One Off, always like Mr. Hockey 24/7.
Yeah.
He said, honestly, I just want to get away for a little bit. I just want to get away from the game for a little bit. And he is the last person that I would have expected to say something like that. So I think it's really just like you said, you got to get out. You got to try something different.
So your fix then for this is for them to play the next 77 games on the road.
No, yes. I don't think that's what the fix is.
Well,
but, a little trip is probably they've got Chicago coming up.
Yeah.
So that might be a nice getaway just after they face Boston, get on the road, at least for one.
Even that, you know, it's kind of out of the frying pan into the fire though, because right after Chicago, they have a back to back. They come home and play Columbus the next day. And then their next road game is in Tampa. And that's going to be all kinds of, you know, emotional and special for all kinds of reasons.
Whatever do you mean?
Yeah. Listen,
that's going to be, Emma, that's going to be the longest game in history, because the average game time in the NHL is 2 hours and 9 minutes. Yeah. That's going to be about 8 hours, because the ovation is going to be about 6.5.
Listen, I was traveling with the team when it was Ryan McDonough's first game back in Tampa.
Yeah.
And I mean no disrespect whatsoever to Ryan McDonough.
Yeah.
But the hero's welcome that he got. I mean, like the mayor of Tampa was there, gave him a key to the city.
The whole city shut down.
they proclaimed it Ryan McDonough Day. Like it was a whole thing. So I'm like, and again, no disrespect, but if they did all of that.
He's not Steven Stamkos. He's not Steven Stamkos. Yeah. That's not disrespect.
No, like what are they going to do for Stamkos if they did all of that for McDonough? So yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I want to get your thoughts on, just to try to simplify, and you make a great point too. I didn't think about it that way of going on the road, but I think that's a great point about the camaraderie, and it's a new group. You can put a ton of talented individuals together, but you need to come together as a group. That's pretty obvious when it comes to sports. Do they need to simplify the shooting? Because the shooting percentage is absolutely terrible. And you would think with the guys they have on their team that you just put the puck to the net, try to get it through, and you'll get at least one or two good things will happen. That's the old adage. But I believe last season, Chicago, they were dead last at 5-on-5 at 6.98 shooting percentage. And I believe through the first four games, I didn't see the fifth game with Nashville, but they had two goals on, I think, 39 shots. So their percentage is under 5, if I'm not mistaken. You know, obviously that's not going to be sustainable because they're going to improve on that, but that's such a telling factor. So do they just need to try to simplify things here? I know it sounds easier said than done.
Yeah, it's very, you know, that's kind of one of the things where you can tell that this group isn't totally comfortable with each other yet, because the shooting, just the offense in general, the approach has been, they look very timid. They've been very much a perimeter team.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying too hard. It's almost like you said, you got to simplify it. They're trying too hard. You know, whether it's they're trying to get the puck to Stamkos or they're trying to get the perfect shot off. It's like, guys, an ugly goal is worth
a goal.
The same number of points as a pretty one. So I think that, you know, the couple goals they have had, I mean, they've had a couple on the power play that have been nice, and but I mean, a few that the ones that they've gotten 5-on-5 have been kind of those dirty net front chip in a rebound goals, and it's like that's, you know, sometimes that's what you need, and it just seems like they're a little too caught up in the system right now and making sure they execute the system perfectly. And I think the, you know, an argument that I hear a lot as well, it's only three new players. I mean, it should
take
that big of a difference. I'm like, absolutely not, because these are three very important players who need to be in on the system. And I think if, you know, these other guys, yes, should be more comfortable with it, but you can tell it's like, that's, you want a team that plays together as a team. They all share a brain. So, you know, if one or two or three guys are off and they're not feeling it, that has a ripple effect with the rest of the team. And I think that's something you're seeing too with Nashville, is that, you know, when you are going through a slump like this, and these slumps, they 5-game losing streaks, they happen all the time to all the teams. It feels worse because it's at the beginning of the season. Yeah.
And they don't have a win yet. That's the problem.
Yes.
They need a win. Yes.
They don't have a point yet. So
yes.
Right.
They need to do that. And so I think that that's, you know, that's certainly part of it. But I think that there's when you're going through slumps like that, you need your top guys to be your top guys, and you need those guys to kind of pull you into the fight, pull you out of the trenches. And I think right now what we're seeing is even the, you know, the top line of Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist has been almost invisible, and that you can't have that when, you know, you're going through something like this. You need those guys to kind of lift you out of the slump. And it's just, guys are not going on an individual level. They're just not going right now.
I think Philip Forsberg is going to go off soon, though. I mean, he's averaging almost 5 shots per game. I think it might even happen Boston tonight. It's Tuesday, we should mention, if you're listening later. It is Tuesday. It is Frozen Frenzy Day, and which is a ton of fun. And that, the Predators are playing Boston. I think this might be a coming out, because he's at 2 goals on, like, I think it's 23 or 24 shots. That's just not Philip Forsberg numbers. Yeah. That's going to improve significantly. Let's look at the Central at large now. Any surprises for you?
Winnipeg.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, only undefeated
team. Completely opposite of Nashville.
Yes. Yes. And it's, you know, I think they're a team that we certainly, I mean, again, it's still, I have to apply the same, you know, the same approach here, because I say, well, Nashville, it's okay, it's only 5 games. I will need to apply the same to Winnipeg. It's only 5 games. But I think that they, you know, they're a team that I think everyone kind of expected, just with everything that happened, you know, the pieces they lost, the fact that they're going to be relying on their younger players, and then they had a head coaching change, that you think, like, all right, this is a team that, if anything, is going to be taking a step back. And we have not seen that so far.
We have not.
Hellebuck's been dynamite. The whole team's been great. That whole division too. Vic and I talked about this before. They're at a 98-point pace. That's the, and Nashville is bringing them down a bit, but they'll of course improve, and that'll be maybe a 100-point pace by the time it's done. But Winnipeg's up there. Dallas, as we expect, is up there. Utah. Are you surprised with the Utah Hockey Club start?
I'm gonna be honest. I'm not.
I'm not either. I'm with you. Yeah.
I had picked Utah as kind of a dark horse to maybe, you know, even be a wild card team at the end of the year. Cool. I think that, you know, that team, I just think that there's so much to be said for, you know, with everything that organization has gone through just over the last year. I mean, there's so much to be said for.
They finally have a home. They finally have a home.
They have a home.
Stability.
They have an owner who actually, you know, wants to invest. I think that it's there's a lot to be said for that, and that comfort level and that stability that they're feeling. So I think that's a part of it. But they also went and they got some really good pieces in the offseason. I mean, they got Sergachev. They got Ian Cole. I think that those are kind of some underrated, under-the-radar pieces that are really going to kind of shore up, you know, a team that's already got a lot of young talent.
No question about it. I think the Sergachev acquisition was actually a pretty
huge
big deal. I don't have them as a playoff team, but I do have them as a very tough out. That's how I will phrase it. I think they're going to make things difficult for, I think we're ready for 77 seconds now, aren't we?
As long as Emma's ready, she's at 17 minutes to change her mind. So,
All right. 7 questions, 77 seconds. You have an average of 11, but again, this is very loose. I'm not bringing the timer out. I tried doing that at the beginning of the season and Ryan was all over me. So we're going to, I'll launch your favorite player of all time.
Ooh, Sidney Crosby.
That's a good answer.
We just talked about the division. Who wins the Central?
Dallas.
Who wins the Cup?
Edmonton.
Oh, really?
I like that.
Emma, spicy.
And it could.
Yeah, spicy. Favorite thing about Vegas, because we were all at the draft. Favorite thing about Vegas other than the draft?
Ooh. This is going to be a weird answer. They have In-N-Out in Vegas. We don't have that out here.
Right. You don't? Okay.
No. That's a big impression from Vegas, In-N-Out Burger. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
I was out in California at some point and they had it. First time I had it. So yeah. Anyway, I know what you're talking about.
All right. In 20 words or less, how does someone with a master's of science end up covering hockey?
The scenic route.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I used to cover baseball and I have a master of science in Spanish translation. Mm-hmm. So that made a lot more sense when I covered baseball.
Right. Amazing. A few more Spanish speaking people in that sport all together.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you have, yeah, that's like, it would be Russian now or something, right?
Yeah. Finnish or something would have been a lot more helpful.
Yeah. So answer the next two in Spanish. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Best thing to eat in Nashville. Take your time on this one. I know it's a lot.
I'm going to go probably, have you guys ever had Bushwhackers? It's kind of, it's more of a drink than a, it's like a, basically an alcoholic milkshake. But
okay.
I mean, it's, yeah.
I saw people walking around with them.
It's the only way that I will consume dark liquor of any
kind.
Because I normally don't like it. But if you put it with ice cream, sure.
That's quite a concoction.
Lots of things work with ice cream. All right.
Yes. I would say lots of things work with dark liquor, but.
Yes, fair enough. It's too early, Vic. Come on.
No, not right now. Not right now. A little later on in the day. All right, final one. Does your pup Minka hate anything as much as she hates mascots?
Oh, gosh. Yes. She hates any time she sees an animal on TV.
Really?
What does she do?
Like, starts barking, whining, crying, like, and it's, I don't understand, because if she sees an animal in real life, like, wants to be their best friend. On the TV, terrified.
There's some element of separation there, obviously.
It's become a real cramp on my style, because like, I've had to watch certain shows on my iPad because I can't watch them around her. Like, Yellowstone had to be my plane show because I couldn't watch it around her. It was a horse every other scene.
So if a commercial comes up on TV and it's an animal, you got to turn it off or something? Is that what you have to do?
Yeah. Well, I just, you know, I mute it usually, but sometimes it's too late. Anytime the Chewy commercials or Liberty Mutual, Limu, we don't like that here.
Nope. That's something I've never heard of that before. She's adorable, by the way.
Oh, she's fantastic.
She is absolutely adorable.
Believe me, I have asked her vet, thinking like, oh, surely this is a thing that maybe other dog owners have gone through. No, they're all like, oh, that's weird.
Have you thought about hypnotism?
Yeah, I'm like, I will try anything.
Anything?
I mean, it's gotten worse as she's gotten older too. So I'm like,
That's really bizarre.
Cartoon animals too.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, Emma! Yeah. I'll know this. Good to know. Maybe give her a bushwhacker before you watch TV. And just knock her out. Just knock her out.
That's right.
Emma, this has been awesome. Thank you for doing this. And next time we talk, I know Nashville, they will have a win. They'll have a point, and they'll get back on track.
They
so
beat
we appreciate
Boston
the time.
Tonight. They
okay,
beat Boston tonight.
Is it, Emma, do you think Nashville gets it tonight?
I was going to say, you said it, not me. At this point, what I thought was they were finally going to win against Detroit.
Yeah.
Their fifth game, because it was a college football Saturday. Tennessee was playing Alabama, and no one was going to be paying attention to the Predators. And so I was like, this is when they're going to do it. And they didn't.
Happens on Tuesday against Boston.
All right.
You'll see.
Guarantee. Thanks, Emma.
No, but you'll see. Not a guarantee.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.